everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Overreaction Friday. Every single pass from the rookie QBs and whether they were poised and comfortable. You want comfort. Damon Sheehy Giuseppe was sleeping outside, crashed a workout, talked his way into an invite, and is now doing this in a Browns uniform. How great is this? Let's go. Oh, it's the best story. This is why I'll allow for preseason football games to exist, because guys get moments like that. Oh, so good.
Hey, he looked pretty good, didn't he? We sort of knew that when we picked them.
The Giants are not going to let it go that they knew it with Daniel Jones from the moment they picked him. Preseason game one, in defense for all those anti-Giantsers, anti-Daniel Jonesers, 5 for 5, 67 yards, and that touchdown. Was this an I told you so moment for the Giants? Like Shermer seemed to crow there, Dominique Foxworth?
Absolutely. I am one of those anti-Jonesers you speak of. And I was saying it was a bad pick back then before he had thrown any of those passes, before he had thrown any NFL passes. So he can absolutely say it's a good pick after he's thrown a few. So I'm on Team Shermer right now in Gettleman.
What did you see specifically from Jones there? His poise in the pocket, as we like to say, the actual throw? Go ahead, tell me.
I'll go a little further than poise in a pocket. I think his timing was spectacular. That's something that you don't see much for young guys. They want to wait until a guy is open before they throw the ball. But he was throwing the ball to a spot where they were supposed to be before they got there, especially on that touchdown pass. So I was really impressed with
him. Clinton Yates, what did you see from Daniel Jones?
He looked great. I mean, the guy was composed. He looked like a guy who should be an NFL quarterback. But as far as Shermer talking his talk, that's fine. But hello, the damage is already done as far as the Giants are concerned. Let's not forget about the Geno Smith era that came and went for the Giants and how they bungled the Eli situation to begin with. To me, it does, because this team is in this position as a result of that right now. They could have handled this way better. Sure, they picked a guy that was decent, but this has been botched overall. Good job out of you for getting a guy that was supposed to be any good. But again, this is already a debacle for the Giants.
I don't know how you could say that, Clint. You say they're already in this position. The position they're in is they've had a quarterback for a decade and a half who won them 2 Super Bowls, and he's nearing the end. Isn't that how you see it, Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I mean, this is a good problem to have. He looked good enough that now you're going to have to answer even earlier to when he's going to come in and take over for a guy that many people have been trying to usher out for the last couple years. Now it's going to make those conversations a little trickier for Shermer. He's going to have to push people back. The hordes are going to be a little bit more hungry to see Daniel Jones earlier in the season. That's a good problem, though. And as I heard earlier, you know, we criticized the pick before he did anything. So if we're going to allow ourselves to do that, then we should also be allowed to give them praise for the pick when he's only done one little thing with first string offensive line in front of him against the second string Jets defense in one preseason game that was one drive. But hey, give him the shine while he earned it for now.
Ramona Shelburne, what did you see from Daniel Jones last night? And what did you hear from Shermer?
Yeah, look, he threw 5 passes and completed all 5 of them. None of those receivers were open, according to NFL Next Generation stats. Mm-hmm. That's some pretty good quarterbacking, okay? And the kid looked poised. He comes in, and it's the perfect setup, right? It's a very small sample size. Eli was a 3-and-out. It was uninspiring. He comes in, and woo, who's this kid? I mean, it was almost like Baker Mayfield last year when Tyrod went out, and then this first drive just electrified the crowd. We are making way too much of this.
Of course we are. We understand.
understand what that is. We understand what that is.
For today,
but
why not?
This is a unique scenario.
Baker
once again,
out to
considering
be great,
how Daniel Jones was received when he was drafted and everything. I mean, for the Giants to once again take a look. I mean, they're crowing a little bit about this. And what I'm hearing from this panel is they should be allowed to do that because understanding the sample size.
Yes.
It's still okay. Dominique, let me ask you this. A perfect world, how should this go with Eli Manning and with Daniel Jones? Well, they drafted him number 6 overall in the first round, so he's going to start before this season is over. And we see the way that teams are built in the modern NFL are around cheap quarterbacks or all-time great quarterbacks. And they don't have an all-time great quarterback right now, and they do have a cheap
Quentin,
one.
Can you address that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they drop under 500, you got to seriously consider starting this kid. I mean, you drafted him that high. You've got to find a way to usher out the Eli era, which is what I was referring to. They had problems with. If you got him, play him if he's any good.
All right, let's talk about another rookie quarterback last night. The number one pick in the draft, Kyler Murray. Every single snap he took, every single breath he had, whether he looked aesthetically pleasing to you, whether he was tall enough to reach the top shelf. 6 of 7, 44 yards. Sarah, a takeaway from Kyler Murray's first very fake debut here.
My biggest takeaway is what we just looked at, escapability. This is a guy who's going to be on the run. The offensive line isn't going to suddenly be perfect after what we saw happen to Rosen last year. So he's going to need to avoid contact. He only threw for 44 yards. He barely threw it downfield. And in reverse of what Daniel Jones did, he threw to receivers that were wide open, the widest margin of any of the quarterbacks we saw last night, 3 yards plus on every single throw. So we didn't see a ton of him having to do anything too crazy, but what we saw was good.
Ramona Shelburne?
Well, to quote another former, the late Dennis Green, who was a former Cardinal, they are who we thought they were. I mean, this is what Kyler Murray does. This is what Cliff Kingsbury's offense is. He looks like a great fit in that offense. The question going forward, though, is what other teams are going to do to scheme against that, because this is exactly what we thought he was going to be and the way they were going to play with him.
Dominique, we have the debut of Kyler Murray and the debut of Cliff Kingsbury. You could address both.
Yeah, I'm high on Kyler Murray. I was before the draft, so I'm happy he's doing well. But I have not been so high on Cliff Kingsbury. But I was impressed with the way that he used the movement of Kyler Murray to avoid that offensive line that we know is not very good. And Kyler Murray looked super comfortable, in part because I heard while watching the game last night on the telecast that he had been running a variation of this this air raid offense since he was in junior high school. So he should look comfortable.
So everything that we said going into Kyler Murray's NFL career and Cliff Kingsbury's NFL career. Remember, Cliff Kingsbury fired as a college football coach, hired as a coordinator, and then is landing on his feet as a head coach here. You think it looks the part right now, Dominique?
I mean, it did. It didn't. They didn't look uncomfortable. They looked happy, which I know is a bit of a lazy analysis, but that's something that you see tension between quarterbacks and coaches all the time. And they didn't have that in part because they speak the same language and they've been doing this for a long time. And Cliff Kingsbury is a career loser as a college football coach. So there still remains to be seen how good a coach he is going to be. But I think with Kyler Murray, he might be enough to lift both of those.
And
chips.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, and I've said this before, Kyler Murray's smart player. That's going to be something that is going to go very well to his advantage. The height is one thing. The build is another. The fact that he simply stayed upright is what I was looking for, because people say this guy's not going to be able to take the hits. He managed to stay through this, and I hope he can do it through the rest of the preseason as well.
Okay, another rookie quarterback. We can break down every single yada, 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 lobster bisque, pick six. Dwayne Haskins, he was 8 of 14. He had that pick six. Threw for 117 yards, some good and some not so good. Two picks in the appearance. Clinton Yates, we'll start with you because this is your account. You and all of Washington were excited about Haskins, the hometown guy. What are you today?
Disappointed, but not surprised. I mean, look, Haskins is a guy who people like because he's a legitimate old school pro style quarterback. It's not a situation like you had with Bob where you're sort of dealing with another type of player. He gets in there, he throws the ball well. However, nobody has looked good in camp for that team, and it shows. Their quarterback coaching situation is a debacle, as I said before. And, you know, look, two picks, that's fine. Early round pick, I'm not expecting a lot more from game one, but the progress is what I'm concerned about as we go through the preseason, because look, if this kid's not going to get much better than that, they've got a real issue with quarterback as far as the
team. Most importantly, it's how he comes back in game two for you, Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, look, because we're going to have Colt McCoy, you're going to have some other guy. I mean, that's the issue.
They've got two pros ahead of him, Case Keenum and Colt McCoy. Dominique Foxworth, what did you see from Dwayne Haskins last night?
Well, first of all, I don't know how Clinton gets D.C. cred. He's in Miami, as you can tell by that jacket he has on. I'm the only one who's in D.C. right now.
Looks sharp.
I'm the only one who's in D.C. right now. And I think that Haskins, it was unfortunate. Given the fact that he really took care of the ball in college, it was pretty scary to see how poor his accuracy was and how bad his decision-making was. And I think it would be something that I would be able to kind of forget and gloss over. It wasn't for the fact that he's third on the depth chart. Like, he's a first-round pick. That you don't end up third on the depth chart unless you're having a bad
camp. Think that
and to have a
something.
Bad showing on top
yesterday
of it.
We had Kevin Blackstone on the show. He didn't seem to think that was just something they were giving the veterans the veteran benefit there.
No, you don't give first round picks, or you don't give veteran benefits over first round picks, especially when you have those guys, Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. No disrespect to them, but no one thinks that they're franchise.
Sarah, I saw you shaking your head no as well there. You can jump on that.
Yeah, this is a quarterback battle because it's a battle because they don't know who they're going to go with. And that's why he's in third right now, because of what we saw last night. Accuracy issues, issues with things that can be learned, thankfully. And the good stuff is the stuff that's more ingrained. He's got a good arm. He's got good legs. The stuff that we saw at the collegiate level. Now you hope he works on accuracy. Now you hope he works on decision making. And you're starting to understand why they don't have him higher than third in their depth chart. I don't think that's about veteran leadership or giving the older guys something. I think that's about them looking and saying, you're not ready yet. Mm-hmm.
Ramona Shelburne?
Yeah, he looked like a rookie. I mean, he threw two interceptions in the second quarter. That only happened once in a game at Ohio State and never in the same half. So, he looks like a guy who's out there and may take a little while. He's a project, but he's got an arm.
Looks like a guy who's out there right now. Clinton Yates, you got that Miami Vice on. Can you roll up the sleeves for me? Can we just do that real quick here?
Easy. I'm not taking requests just yet. But the issue with this squad is that overall, they're just not very good. And that's something that's going to be reflected at the quarterback position. And you saw
At least they have a fan base that is patient and knows as an ownership that they have. They're building, something there in, what do you call that?
What building?
Ashburnistan.
Ashburnistan?
Okay.
A once proud nation ruined by the greed and avarice of a small man. That's exactly what's going on.
Oh man, that is. Can we end this segment on the greatest story of last night? Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. This story is amazing. He was a junior college All-American at Phoenix College. Didn't get any invites. Heard about open workouts from a flag football teammate in Arizona. Spent his last dollars working out with a trainer in Florida. Slept outside on the grass in North Miami. Pretended to know Cleveland's VP of player personnel and talked his way into the invite. Ran a 4.3. Slept in 24-hour fitness. The story goes on and on and on. He was eating at neighborhood cookouts of people who weren't neighbors. We only have a 30-minute show. Wait for the movie to come out. That's all I'm saying. 24-hour fitness. 365 Life, starring Jordan Fisher or Scarlett Johansson if she thinks she could play that role. She could play him. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Chiefs Bengals will start their preseason tomorrow night. Here's Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid says Patrick Mahomes is going to play the first quarter. So last night we saw quarterbacks running for their life. Josh Rosen, that's his move. He's always getting pressure. Gardner Minshew with the Jags took a fierce hit too. The point is, you can say you're going to keep a guy upright. He's not going to take any hits, but you have no control over that, right? Ramona, should Reed have paused about playing Mahomes the whole quarter?
No, players play. I mean, he can get hurt in practice the same as he can get hurt in a preseason game. I mean, the guy is literally throwing balls out of Arrowhead Stadium from the field. He's throwing and hitting drones out of the air. Get him on the field so he can play a real game. He's just messing around in practice.
Sarah Spain.
To get out there and satisfy those competitive.
Yeah, as our NBA expert, Ramona knows that players are going to play. Guys are going to be out there whenever they can, right? Listen, there's always going to be a little bit of pause, sure, but at the same time, there are reasons to have him out there, and I trust that Andy Reid has found them. One of them might be their second round pick, Mecole Hardman, wide receiver. They want to see him in a game situation, 100% speed against defenders, get him up to speed with the quarterback that clearly doesn't need a whole quarter.
Glenn Yates?
Yeah, the Chiefs have done everything right in terms of how they've handled Mahomes, and I certainly trust them now. And also, Patrick is a fun, loving kid. The guy likes playing football. I'll let him get out there. I don't mind it. Tremendous arm slot guy as well.
So that's the second time arm slot. Thank you very much. It changes the slot. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's here, sometimes. So the second time fun has been labeled as very important in the preseason here. Dominique, you're having some fun with this. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I'll zig a little bit here. I think that it does matter having guys out there. And I agree, you can get hurt in practice. Deshaun Watson got hurt in practice. You can get hurt in games. But it is a statistical fact that if you expose yourself to more football, you are more likely to get hurt. I don't need stats and information to prove that. It's something I know. So you may not want to expose your future Hall of Fame quarterback to something like that. And I understand that different players need different things. Woo. But I can assure you that Patrick Mahomes doesn't need any more snaps.
Giving him the jacket and the bus, future Hall of Fame.
Yeah, give it to him. Give it to him.
Okay, well, MVP 1 year and now Hall of Fame. Sticking with quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota last night for the Titans, 4 for 8, 24 yards. All his completions into the slot. Ryan Tannehill in relief, 12 of 16, 130 yards. Maybe he stretched it out maybe a little bit more. Shereen Williams, Pro Football Talk, wonder aloud if the Titans have a QB controversy. Then Michael Moraitis, Titans-sized, wondered aloud why Pro Football Talk was wondering aloud how ridiculous it would be to have a controversy right now between Mariota and Tannehill after one preseason game. Clinton, what do you buy, what do you sell?
I'm buying this as not a controversy, simply a competition. Look, I'll give Vrabel some credit here for trying to get some, you know, fire under these guys, because it's not easy to, you know, boot a guy like Mariota when he's such a fan favorite in a place like that. I understand that people like him. However, this team is underachieved. If you need another guy to get it at the helm, do it.
Bobsworth?
Yeah, it was a controversy as soon as they signed Ryan Tannehill, because Tannehill only signed a 1 year deal, which suggests that he went to a place where he knew he was going to get a chance to play so that he could be a free agent again. So they want to get rid of him. I think it's instructive to look at Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota's kind of draft buddy. You know what they did to Jameis Winston? They got his only competition out of town and sent him down to Miami and Fitzmagic. They did the opposite thing here, which suggests to me that they want Mariota out of there soon.
Is that right? So you're calling this a QB controversy and Clinton's calling it a competition.
Yeah.
How much stock do you put in last night, Dominique, if I could ask you that real quick?
Yeah, it's hard to put any stock in last night, but I do think that they want them to
Ramona Shelburne?
Look, this is the year where you have to make a decision. At some point, he was a number two overall draft pick. He had a great start to his career, but he's been hurt, and they've missed the playoffs 9 out of 10 years. So whether or not it's his fault that he keeps getting hurt, they're not making the playoffs, and this is his year. They have to find out if he's the guy going forward.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, Mariota is by no means untouchable, right? He's not Tom Brady. He's not Patrick Mahomes. So the fact that we would even wonder if another guy who was a top eight, you know, eighth pick in the first round his year, started for a number of years with the Dolphins, set a bunch of franchise records at one point there, and has struggled with injuries just like Mariota, couldn't possibly supplant him. It's crazy. Of course this is a competition. Of course they brought him in to see if Mariota is a guy who should be a full-time no doubt starter for the rest of his career or not.
Man, with these guys' histories, though, I mean, you have one quarterback, you have two quarterbacks. Who's the third string quarterback who's actually going to play when these guys get hurt? Buy or sell three, a timeout to ice a kicker in the first preseason game. Ron Rivera and the Panthers did this to your Bears, Sarah Spain, last night. He said he did it for the Bears' benefit because of all their kicking woes on maybe 43-yard field goals, which actually happened last night with Elliott Fry. Sarah, buy or sell this whole thing.
I'm buying it. Now, I'm completely biased. Of course I'm going to buy another coach helping out my team to figure out their kicking woes. I think it's great, and I'm sure that, you know, Rivera could tell everyone, I just wanted my guys to practice a game-time situation. I think he was just looking at it like, you guys need some help. We've seen this carousel of guys. Let's just settle on one.
Why?
I'm buying anything that has to do with Bears kickers because I want more news choppers over the practice field looking at guys trying to make kicks. That's all that matters here. Bears kickers, great
stuff. Dominique, icing a kicker in preseason game one?
Oh, yeah, I'm buying it because I want the perfect ending to this story. It's for that guy Fry to hit a game-winning playoff field goal against the Panthers. That's what we really need. Your job is not to help the Bears, Rivera. Your job is to help the Panthers.
Shelburne.
Look, this is preseason. Coaches help each other. They're all on the same team until the real game.
So you think that's what it was? He's helping some of his old friends in Chicago. And, of course, he played in Chicago his career decade.
Matt Nagy thanked him afterwards.
Yeah, true. All right, Spain, maybe second-guessing. I'm biased here in the middle of an answer. Maybe. Ramona, you have a weekend. Sarah, have a weekend. Don't go too far, Sarah. I want to have a conversation with you before the end of the show. All right, Clinton Yates, Dominique Foxworth. That's going to be our showdown in 2 minutes.
What's up, Clinton?
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
June 3rd. Anybody? Anybody? It says it right on the screen right there, guys. Mets and Nats. Who are you giving the edge to, Clinton?
I'm giving it to the Mets. Look, at the end of the day, I just don't trust the Nats bullpen. And without Max Scherzer, this rotation isn't as strong. Mets are hot right now. Nats have figured it out over the course.
Yeah, the Nats currently have the lead, and I like a team that seems to at least have a consistent direction. I don't think anyone knows what the Mets want to do, especially after what they did at the trade deadline, sending guys away that could help and bringing in guys when we thought they were going to be sellers.
That was last week. This week, they're the best team in baseball. Point.
They picked up Stroman.
I know it was last week.
Showdown 2, Javi Baez batting lefty because the game was in extensive garbage time. 12-5 in the ninth. Fair or foul, Dominique?
I mean, I think it's kind of foul. Like, I enjoy it. I like to watch it. But in this game where everyone is so concerned about these unwritten rules, it seems to be that it could be argued that this is a bit of a perversion of the rules when you put guys, you switch sides.
It's absolutely fair. Javi Baez is, in fact, left-handed, which is what's so crazy about it. He normally bats right and throws right, but he's actually left-handed. So him batting left.
And he looked good with the swing. A perversion of the rules. Counselor, how dare you? Voir dire, the witness. We'll move on. Shutdown 3. The major league record for most games in a row, hitting a double. Did you even know we kept that track of that sort of thing? 9, and it's Bo Bichette with 9 straight in his first 11 games of his major league career. How real is the record? What does it mean about Bo, Clinton?
Bo is the kind of guy, when you see him on the field, scouts call him a gamer. You want to talk about Vladdy Jr., you want to talk about Fernando Tatis. I still think Tatis is a better player, but Bo is just the guy you want on your squad because he makes you better. Tremendous base runner, hits the ball well, sees the ball well, not a ton of power.
Question was how real is the record? The record is not real at all. It's not something that we keep or anyone cares about or we're going to remember 10 years from now. But I agree, Bo is obviously an outstanding player, and that team is young and exciting.
Mm-hmm. That's an answer to a question, Dominique. But it's just 1 point. Clinton Yates, 2-1. That's your FaceTime right now.
I want to take some time right now to remember the life of Toni Morrison. I'm in Miami for the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, and she, for my money, is the greatest American author of all time. She wrote about black people for black people. She projected and protected who we are and what we mean to America. A lot of people don't understand how motivational she was for people like me to be able to express themselves overall in this country. Thank you, Toni Morrison. Well-lived life.
Well said, Clinton. Have fun at NABJ, but don't have too much fun. Got to come back fresh because next week, guest host week, Clinton Yates Monday, Sarah Spade Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Hola, yeehaw.
I was going on vacation. I canceled my vacation so I can watch you guys host. Get the popcorn ready. Here are the tips. Here's how I score the show. Number one,